He was recently inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame for It's Raining Men. You know, that's the song that you dance to at every wedding and every gay bar. Well, music legend Paul Schaefer, fellow Canadian, joining us on the line. Hi, Paul.
It's great to be with you, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And we've got a connection. You're Thunder Bay, I'm Winnipeg. You know, they're almost neighbors.
We are 500 miles away from each other spiritually, for sure.
But as Canadians,
but I'm sure we're much closer than that.
I was going to say, as Canadians, we're right there together.
Yes, indeed.
First off, congratulations on this honor. How does it feel?
It was such a nice feeling, and you know, to be, let's face it, to be recognized by one's own country. You know, I moved to New York and not back in 1974, but this was something, you know, an honor given to me by this Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame, given to the song, really. It's Raining Men, one of the very few songs I ever wrote in my life, or co-wrote in this case with the great Paul Jabara, the late great. Anyway, it's a lovely thing and a lovely honor for the song, and for us songwriters.
It was the two Pauls teaming up for some musical magic.
Apparently so. Who knew at the time? I had worked with Paul. He was just getting his career going. First, he had a little Broadway show that flopped. That was before I even got to town in the early 70s. And then he was going to be a recording artist, and I, through my great friend Ron Dante, who was Barry Manilow's producer back in the day, produced Mandy and all of those hits, he put me together with Paul to write arrangements for him. But he was going to try to be a recording artist himself. And that didn't work out. But then he went to Hollywood, and he wrote Last Dance and won an Oscar. Last Dance for Donna Summer.
Yeah.
And it was after that, you know, when he called me up and said, you know, let's write one together. I got an idea for Donna. How about It's Raining Men? And I said, I'll be right over. You know, I didn't waste any time. This man was an Oscar-winning songwriter, and he was terrific too. He was full of energy and humor.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I've never written a song, and you've done a few, but I always wonder if it's the case of the chicken or the egg. Like, what comes first? Is it the melody in your head, and then you put lyrics to it? Especially when you're writing with somebody. Take me inside the process.
Well, of course, the great writer Sammy Kahn, which comes first, used to say the phone call.
Right.
That was a big joke in his act. But it can happen either way or any way. And today, you know, and this song was written in the old-fashioned way, at the piano, two guys at the piano tossing around ideas. Now, of course, it's written with a computer, and everything's different. So I can only talk about the way we wrote It's Raining Men, which was that Paul had a lot of lyrical ideas ready to go, all loaded up. Phrases like rip off the roof and stay in bed. You know, when he called me about, when he said, I got the title, It's Raining Men, and I got, you know, all these things like, for the first time in history, it's going to, God bless Mother Nature. She's a single woman too. He was ready to go, you know. And so when I came over, he just said, you know, so play me some music, and I started playing some chords, and he just kind of started shouting out some of these phrases to the music, and eventually they take form, and, you know, I start shouting out some too, and that's how it develops.
And it sounds like once you just sort of get into that groove, now it's like a snowball effect.
Well, it's true that getting into the groove can inspire things. There was at one point where he was saying, now I can't. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go let myself get, and then I came absolutely soaking wet. You know, I just kind of. But then he said, "Oh yeah, good, but Donna, you know, Donna Summer, we got to remember she loves to show off her voice and hold long notes. So she'd be absolutely soaking wet. You know, with a big long note. Okay, so that's it. You know, then we had that. Now what's next? That's kind of the way it went with us, and." You get the energy going, you know, and flow. If you're lucky, ideas can flow.
let me ask you your thoughts. You mentioned about the computerization of music recording nowadays. So I always like, you know, somebody who's been in the business for generations like you have, for decades like you have. What do you think of it now? It's completely different. Like you said, you don't even have to sit at the piano anymore. You can sit at a different kind of a keyboard and hammer out a song.
Well, it has changed music, and it has changed even the definition of a song. Because it seems to me that the hit songwriters of today, when they're writing on the computer. When they're finished writing the song, they kind of have the record too. They've written both at the same time. The arrangement sort of comes, you know, as they're writing, and the computer plays it right away. That inspires them. Sometimes just a groove and a few lyrics can be a song.
Mm-hmm.
We had that in the old days of rock, of course, you know, let's go down, down, down.
Yeah.
So I gotta say it's basically the same. But you just have to know how to work the computer.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to know how to play the piano.
Yeah. Let me ask you.
Play an instrument. But, you know, technology changes things. That's just the way it is.
Well, it's certainly changed, at least, you know, even radio broadcasting, right? Who needs the radio anymore when you can just click onto YouTube or something, right?
Well, that is, of course, and these streaming services, and there's no commercials.
Yeah.
It's in sort of a state of flux, isn't it? Will radio survive? There's nothing like it. I'm a loyalist. I love radio. But it reminds me of when we wrote that It's Raining Men in about 1981, and when Paul cut it in Los Angeles, he used real musicians. There were no computerized, there were no drum machines being used. So even though this was like a long dance track for clubs, you know, the drummer just had to play that beat live and keep playing it for 6 minutes or whatever it was. It's not like today where the computer will just play it.
Mm-hmm.
And the drummer was really trying to achieve a sort of a machine-like quality when he recorded it, something which is we get automatically with the computer. It is a machine, after all.
Yeah, you know,
so it's all over the place, but I mean, you just can't... who knows, you know, the electric guitar was invented, that changed music. Now the computer's been invented.
Yeah, you just go with the flow. Now, I think what's interesting about the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame is that often I feel that songwriters don't get a lot of credit amongst the listening public, right? Like back in the day, if I hear a Celine Dion song or whoever, I always assumed as a kid before I got into broadcasting that Celine Dion wrote it, right? She's the one singing it. She makes it famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's Celine's song. So I think this is great when the songwriters get the recognition and go, oh my, wait a second, Paul did that song? What do you think about that?
Well, of course, it's fun. And in my case, to have, you know, written only this one hit song, and I'm sort of like Charlie Chaplin. He turns out he wrote the beautiful song, Smile Though Your Heart Is Aching.
Yeah.
Your people are always blown away. Well, I wrote It's Raining Men. I think it's kind of the same thing, and what a thrill to be in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. When the lady induction took place live on global television in the morning, virtually like everything does today,
yeah.
But what she said, you know, your song will be in there with Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. You know, that's amazing. And then the other one she mentioned was Hot Child in the City. I said, well, that's, you know, you want to talk about classical music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be in it. I have my song in there with Paul Jabbar and Hot Child in the City. What a dream come true.
It's fascinating that you're still... so in awe. For as long as you've been in the business, it's great that you still feel that way.
I think that I have that in common with a lot of people who, well, certainly who make music or who contribute in any way. We must love it, you know, if we're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It must be something like that. People a lot more successful than I are just like me. Fans, you know, and I am certainly a fan. Blown away if if Frankie Valli walks into the room, you know, oh my God, I'm still just as thrilled as I would have been when I was 13.
Absolutely. And you know, you talk about the love of your fellow brothers. I have to know, how's Letterman doing? Everybody knows you from The Late Show, right? How's Dave doing?
Yes, of course they do, because I was with Dave for 33 years every night on TV. And he is, like all of us, you know, hunkering down and
yeah.
and dying to get out and stuff. He continues to do a show on Netflix.
Yeah.
And he uses a piece of music I wrote for the theme. So I guess I wrote two songs. I wrote the old Letterman theme too, so that's three. But he is, you know, still has fun doing his Netflix show, and even did some, I think, during the quarantine, which involved having to travel, having to get tested before you get on the plane. You get tested when you get there. Everybody else on the shoot is tested. All that stuff. I think he did some of that too.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. Thanks for asking. I'll give your best.
You know, we're out of time, but I just wanted to say, like, it seems like that's a lifelong friendship. I don't know how often you two talk, but it seems like you could go for years without talking and then just pick up like no time has passed.
Well, you know what? He and it's really because he wanted that way. And our friendship has continued by his, you know, because he wanted it to. What I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really great. We talk on the phone all the time, and before the quarantine we were seeing each other quite regularly, but we still talk all the time. And when my wife had COVID, we both had it, my wife and I, way back in March, he called me twice a day when my wife was sick with it. So I consider that we have a really quite a lovely friendship, and appreciate you asking about that.
Oh, absolutely. Final hard-hitting question for you, Paul. Are you ready for it?
Hit me.
All right. What are the chances you would go and host SNL if they asked you?
Well, you know, I don't think there's much chance they're going to ask me, but I did get to do it way back.
Yeah.
In the 80s, right after Letterman came on the air, so around 83 or something. And Lorne Michaels had just, another of our fine linesmen from Canada,
mm-hmm.
he had just retaken over the show. Letterman was hot, and so I got to host it, and it was, talk about it, I mean, that was a pretty big thrill, too. Go from piano player to hosting it, and thanks to Lorne, I got to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like it's just been a lifelong thrill for you, all of your success, it's been great.
I've been blessed. I don't take it for granted. I'm very grateful. It's been some work too, and obviously some disappointment. There are those who say, you know, don't even go into show business if you can't take the disappointment. And we take it so seriously. We take ourselves so seriously
yeah.
too, you know. But my goodness, I've had a blessed time, and thanks to, oh boy, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, what can I say? My parents who encouraged me to take piano lessons, and I'll always thank them for that.
Well, absolutely. Well, I'm looking outside, though. It's not raining men. You lied to me, Paul. You lied. It's not raining men outside.
It's raining something. You know, it's always raining something. I think that could be the sequel. Hey,
there
let's
you
write
go.
It together.
All right, you call me. We'll do
Come
it.
Come on over.
Yeah, well, again, let me congratulate you.
History repeat itself.
Like I said, I've never written a song. You can show me the way.
That's right. Well, do you know the computer? Just kidding. That's how we would write it now, of course, if we would write the sequel.
And
we'd write it in a new way.
And we don't even have to be in the same room. I could be in one country, you can be in another.
So true. That's just how they do it. You know what? I was going back just before the quarantine. I was starting to do concerts with symphony orchestras, pop concerts. Talk about the antithesis of computerized. You know, the real deal, 60, 70 musicians all playing together. There's really nothing like that. And I was about to play with the Winnipeg Symphony, too,
mm-hmm.
which may happen. Let's hope it happens. It comes back, you know, after everything goes back to normal.
Oh, then I'm going to make sure that I'm in Winnipeg at the time.
I hope so. I know you travel, and
yeah.
it's hard to pin you down.
Yeah.
Jeremy, but you know, I hope I see you there.
Yeah, that would be great.
And all right.
Well, let me congratulate you again. The legendary recording artist, Paul Schaefer, on It's Raining Men, the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame honor. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thank you to all my Canadian pals and relatives.